Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. We'll stand while I read the text. Romans, chapter number 1. We're going to be preaching from the whole chapter. I'm just going to read a couple of verses by way of introduction, and then we'll pray and get into it. I'm excited about starting a new book. Even if you aren't. Yeah. I am. Amen. What a blessing, man. To go all the way through Genesis, over 2 years it took us to get through it, or right at that, somewhere around there. I'd have to look again. I think it was close to 2 years. That's a blessing going through Joshua. I'm not sure how long that took us, but what a neat thing, man. I'm excited. I love the Bible. I like the way that it just kind of switches things up, keeps it interesting, keeps it different. This is a great book here. I'm excited about preaching through it. Romans chapter number 1, let's read it together. In verse number 14, we'll read down through verse 16. Paul says this, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts now as we launch into the book of Romans. I pray that you'd make the message really convicting to our hearts, draw us closer to Jesus Christ, give us a greater understanding of what we believe and why from this book. And Father, perchance, there's anybody here who's a member of our church. And Lord, I worry about that from time to time because I'm sure that not everybody who claims to be saved is always saved. Father, if there's anybody in our church who's not saved, I pray that you convict them. If there's visitors here or visitors that are coming in the future, I pray you use this book to get to them, to convict them, to open their eyes to the fact that they're not saved. And I pray we see some great fruit come from the Word of God. You promised your Word wouldn't return void. We're claiming that promise, believing that promise, Lord, by faith. It's kind of easy to say by faith because we've seen it work before. We ask you to allow it to work again. Help us, Father, as we cast the rudder on the waters that we fight it after many days. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The common phrase throughout the book of Romans, actually a phrase that appears 11 times in the first chapter, is the phrase on God. Now, it stands to reason that people who are not of God are going to hate this book. Why? Because it's of God. And somebody who's not of God doesn't want to hear about God. Of God appears 11 times in the first chapter alone. Those that love their sin are going to have a falling out with God before we get to the end of chapter number 1. Actually, I believe with all my heart, many saved people are going to have a falling out with God before we get to the end of chapter number 1. Because chapter number 1 is a talk chapter. God lays in here through the Apostle Paul, and he begins calling things just like they are. And by the time God's done making his argument at the end of chapter number 1, everybody who's honest will have to admit that you and I are useless, we're sinful, we're wicked, and we deserve to go to a devil's hell. Now that's not easy for you and I to accept, amen? But it's the honest truth. The beautiful thing about this book, the book of Romans, is that not only is there a common phrase of God, but the theme of the book of Romans is justification. A great way to kind of help you begin to grasp the concept of justification is just as if I'd never sinned. Justification is where a man becomes justified before God. But Romans nails down the fact that you're justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans is going to nail down for you, it's not your religion that will save you. It's going to nail down for you, it's not your good works, it's not turning over a new leaf, it's not quitting your bad habits, it's not breaking your alcohol or drug addiction, it's not any of those kind of things being rehabilitated by the penal system. Nothing you can do in your life, nothing you can accomplish, no good works you can commit can ever save your soul and cause you to become justified before God. The only thing that can do that for you is the grace of God through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans is going to nail that down for us. You need to understand what salvation is this morning. I'm afraid too many people think they're saved when they're not saved. You say, well, when did you get saved? You say, well, you know, I was going this way in my life, and then God showed me some things, and I had a really bad experience, and through that experience, you know, and save me from that situation. And I was in a car accident. And, oh, God saved me. God saved me. And ever since then, I've been living for God and I've come to know the Lord. God's always been a part of my life. Heard somebody tell me this week, testifying about somebody else, and they're talking to him about salvation. They said, well, I was born a Christian. Hogwash.
Right.
You were not born a Christian. It's possible you were born into a Christian home. It's also possible some priest somewhere who himself is lost and on his way to hell threw a little bit of water on your head and your parents said original sin was washed away and you were born into a quote-unquote Christian home, but you were not born a Bible Christian. You were born a sinner. You understand that? My wife and I were analyzing our children and our own parenting very recently. We were talking about, you know, the challenges and the transitions and the age they're at now compared to how they used to be and what used to be harder and what it is now. Just kind of discussing the whole thing, you know, kind of battle plan, strategy, you know what I'm saying? It's 4-on-2. You've got to strategize, amen? We're talking about how, you know, their particular faults or particular weaknesses in the different children and the different personalities, some, even though you love them all the same, do not misunderstand me. And you don't have any favorites. I got a favorite oldest, a favorite second, a favorite third, and a favorite fourth. Amen. There's no favorite children. But certain faults and certain failures in certain kids as compared to the other kids can be very irritating, and some faults can be more dangerous to their long-term health spiritually, and their long-term health emotionally, and their long-term health in their relationships. And we were talking about how it can be easy to begin getting impatient and frustrated and then begin responding to them the wrong way. And what happens in their little heads when mom and dad are frustrated and impatient, they don't see it from our point of view. All they see it from is the child's point of view. And so the damage we can do if we don't learn to control, train, and discipline properly for their good well-being. And I mentioned to my wife, I said, you know, it's also easy for us to forget that they got those faults from us. I was born to sinful parents. And all four of my little girls were born to sinful parents. You realize because of your sin, the Bible teaches that the wages, the payment for your sin is death. Proof that all of us are sinners is that every single person eventually dies. You get that? That's God's way of saying you are a sinner. If you never sinned, you'd live forever. And if you die a sinner who's never been saved, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to be mean or negative this morning, but I would not be an honest preacher. I'd be nothing but a low-life, bottom-feeding, money-grubbing scumbag if I did not tell you that truth. Do you understand that? This is making your enemy. And if you feel uncomfortable with it or feel almost, in a sense, pressured by it or something inside of you start to turn a little bit, that's called the convicting power of the Spirit of God. That's not me.
Amen.
So deal with God. Amen.
No.
Now, this book of Romans is going to be exceptionally applicable to you and I today. And here's the reason. It's a cultural reason. It's written to Rome. Now understand this, Rome was the last great world empire that the Bible ever gives any acknowledgement to before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Did you follow that? The last great world empire you find in the Bible is Rome. You guys realize technically what Rome covered back in the day? Is it European? You realize that Americans, true Americans, are on reservations somewhere, they're Native Americans, they're not you and I? Look around you this morning. For the vast majority, you got Europeans in this room. The vast majority of Americans are European. You came from what used to be at one point a part of the world that was covered by the Roman Empire. Not only that, but the reason I believe that the last great world empire God recognizes being Rome is because Rome is still very alive and well today, although not recognized as a military presence. It is one, but not recognized as one yet. Although not recognized as a nation, per se, Rome is very much alive and well spiritually and politically. You read the book of Daniel and you see the two legs on the statue. You know what those two legs represent? Rome. You know why the thing has two legs? Because there's Eastern Orthodox and there's Roman Catholics. You mark my words. You know what's interesting to me? Not only the Roman Empire, religiously, but politically, their presence. I saw two articles yesterday. And they blew my mind so much. I went to go show my wife just an hour later, and they were both gone. Either on CNN or the Fox News on the app on my phone. The one article that caught my attention is this whole deal between Barack Obama and Cuba. You know what they said in that deal? They said under the cloak of the Roman Catholic Church, with the help of the Pope, they've begun to make their reconciliation between America and Cuba. A second article that really caught my attention is at that summit, it was showing your president sitting there at the microphone speaking, and a bunch of people behind him taking pictures, and you know, all the news media or whoever they were taking their pictures and doing their thing. And right behind him walked a white collar on backwards and a black robe with a quick move across the camera. And I mean, he was moving. His carriage was such that you'd recognize him as a leader. You'd recognize him as a strong man. You'd recognize him as somebody busy doing something. And he turned and looked at the camera, and he just kind of locked in on it for a second. I rewound it three times to make sure, because if you weren't watching, you wouldn't have seen him. And I paused it to see his face. And I said, what in the world is some Catholic bishop or whatever doing at that summit, strutting around like he runs the show? I'll tell you what's going on. They do.
Amen.
You read the book of Vatican Billions, and you'll find out a little bit about Rome. You'll find out a little bit about why they're so important and such a key player in the end times. You start studying the Bible and the prophecies of the Antichrist, who he is, where he's coming from, a false prophet. I'm telling you, folks, it's a scary thing to watch Rome get more and more involved in politics at the end times, trying to make peace between the Jews and the Muslims. It's all prophecy coming to play. The book of Romans is so applicable to the day and age in which you and I live. It is written to us where we're at. And I'm telling you, modern-day Americans hate this book and hate the God that wrote it, because they're not of God anymore.
Right.
So I'm going to preach to you on why they hate God. You want to know why they hate God? For no good reason. The first reason they hate God is because the power of God is seen. Look at verse number 4. By the way, if you're of God, you're going to love this book.
Yeah.
It's going to be blessing you. So while I'm preaching to you on the reasons they hate God, I want you to think about it and meditate on the reasons you want to love God. Verse number 4. The Bible says, well, look at verse 3 so we catch the context, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's enough right there to make you want to say amen.
Amen.
It's his son, and he's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank God for that. What a privilege to have Jesus Christ be your Lord. Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, watch it, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Number one, they hate God because the power of God is seen in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they don't like it. Why don't they like it? Well, because look at Him, according to the Spirit of what? Holiness. You know what you've got? You've got an unholy generation.
Yeah.
When we talk about holiness, if you love sin and you are filthy, then holiness makes you almost afraid. Holiness will make you disgusted. Holiness will make you angry. Hey, the closer you get to the light, the more you can see the dirt that's all over you. Shut the lights off. I don't want to see the dirt because I don't like what I see when the lights are on. Get the holiness of Jesus Christ away from me. I don't want it because I love my sin. But you turn on that light, God shows you the power of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to maintain His holiness. From the moment He was born until the moment that He died, the only sin that He ever experienced was your sin taken on Him on the cross, so He could descend with that sin and put it in hell and come up out of hell perfect. Hey, He couldn't have come up out of hell perfect if He hadn't have had the power to put the sin in hell. He wouldn't have had the power to put the sin in hell if God hadn't given Him the power, because He lived a perfect life. It was His holiness that got Him to where God would honor the sacrifice. So you can die and give your life for Jesus as a Christian. And if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, your sacrifice is no good.
Right.
Because you got your own sin to pay for. Jesus Christ was so holy, He was able to pay for the sins of the whole world. Past, present, and future. He was able to make a sacrifice that covered no matter what you did. I mean, the worst, the most heinous crimes men have ever and will ever commit, Jesus Christ was able to cover. Because he's holy. Men don't like that kind of power. You know, you watch a man walk around thinking he's all something special. You know, thinking he's all tough. You're so sick and tough, aren't you? If you're so sick and tough, why don't you quit your fornicating? You're such a strong man. Why don't you quit your wicked living? You're such a strong man. Why don't you beat heroin on your own? You know, we're not strong, folks.
Amen.
He's strong. Sin will get a hold of us. It'll tear us apart. It'll break us down. It'll control us. It will ruin our lives. But it didn't ruin Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. Declared to be the Son of God with power. You know what's super interesting is in verse number 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. You realize Jesus Christ was not the seed of David? That's important to notice. It says was made of the seed of David. He was not the seed of David. He was the seed of the Holy Spirit. There was no man involved in his conception. It was the Holy Spirit. You can't change one word of your Bible.
Right. Yeah.
You change that word made, which was of the seed of David, and you just made Jesus Christ a man with a sinful bloodline.
Yeah.
He was the seed of the Holy Spirit, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. You believe that kind of stuff? I know. That's silly, isn't it, when the whole world believes in a Big Bang? It's like driving your F-150 into the side of a brick wall hoping it'll turn into a Harley Davidson. You believe that? I mean, we only believe a 50% miracle. Half of it was just like you and I. The other half was God allowing that thing to get triggered off in her womb by the Holy Spirit of God without a man's contribution. That's only a 50% miracle. It takes less faith to believe the Bible and to believe in Jesus Christ than it does to believe in a bunch of foolishness.
Yeah.
Now, he was made, the Bible tells us in Galatians, of the woman. You get it? Every word of God is pure. Don't change your Bible. I don't care what kind of scholar you are, what kind of Greek you know, you're a fool if you change the word of God.
Right.
He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. You know, they hate his power. So you know what he did? He resurrected from the dead. You know what they did? Rome said, hey, you guys remember how he said he was going to raise the third day? Make sure you seal that tomb real good. Put some guards at the door. Because, man, our last day is going to be worse than the first. His disciples are going to come steal that body. And then it's really going to kick off. I mean, this is going to become a worldwide religion, this Christianity thing. Before Christianity ever came up on that living. Right? So you know what he did? He came up out of the grave anyhow. They did everything they could to stop him. They did everything they could to ensure that nobody ever believed that Jesus rose from the dead. But just to make sure they knew the disciples didn't come in and steal the body and lie about it, he didn't just come out of the grave. We're talking about the power of God and why they hate the Lord Jesus Christ and hate the book of Romans. Are you with me still? He didn't just come out of the grave. He appeared to his disciples and began to instruct them. And just in case everybody said, well, you know those disciples, they're lying to me, he showed up when he did. The Bible says he appeared to above 500 and he spent 40 days on this earth teaching them something. Jesus went above and beyond to prove he's the Son of God with power and to take away every excuse they had to say it didn't happen and he wasn't true and he wasn't right. He proved it. He went above and beyond to erase any excuse. Listen, friend, you have no excuse this morning to go to hell. And I'm going to show you a little more about that in a minute. But he proved his power through the Son of God. Look at verse 16. He proves his power through the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God on the salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God proves his power not only through the Son of God, but through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You realize this book right here, this gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God to change your eternal destiny?
Amen.
Why would you hate something like that? You know why they hate it? Because they know that the moment they get saved, God's going to expect something of them as a son of God. And they don't want it. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10, please. How do we get the gospel to them? I mean, how do we get the gospel to them in such a way that has the power of God and the salvation of it? Watch. Romans 10, 17. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What did I tell you in the introduction? I said you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get the faith? Faith cometh by hearing, but what do you got to hear? The word of God. You realize it's important for you to pass out those gospel tracts and to memorize those scriptures and to quote those scriptures when you're talking to them and saying, can I sit down with you for a second and open up my New Testament here and show you some verses? I'm telling you that when they look at those verses, you can see the conviction start coming. Mm-hmm. You can watch it. Not every time, but a lot of times you can see it. God start working on them. Listen, you better make sure you're saved because of what you saw in the word of God. Not because of some experience you had.
Right. Yeah.
Not because some angel appeared to you or Jesus showed up and talked to you. Forget all that garbage. What did you see in the Bible? Not what some preacher said to you.
Yeah.
Well, my parents always believed, well, grow up. Do you hear me? Grow up. Anytime I say, well, my parents are, well, I was always taught,
well, when I was a kid, my parents raised me on drugs. They drove me to church on Sunday and drove me to church on Wednesday. That's why I don't want to go.
Hey, you need to grow up and maintain some responsibility between you and God to get the Bible and say, what did God say about my eternal destiny? This is my soul, not my mama's soul. This is my soul, not my daddy's soul. This is my soul, not some hypocritical Christian who turned me off to God. It's my soul. I need to know what God said about where I'm going when I die. Somebody show me from the Bible what it means to be saved. That's biblical salvation.
No.
Not your feelings. You can't trust them. Well, Jesus appeared to me. How do you know that Jesus is not a demon? You don't. You need God's word. Look at another verse with me, if you would, please. He said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Go to your right. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter number 2. Look at verse number 8. Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved. No question about that. There's no up for discussion. Through faith. How? By grace, through faith. Where do we say faith came from? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that, not of yourselves. You realize you can't muster up enough faith. I'm believing, I'm firmly believing as hard as I can believe. Knock it off. Would you put me in superstitious? I know I'm talking real rough to you, but I love you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, snap out of it. Don't we get like that? Even as Bible believers sometimes, we get overly superstitious about the things of God. For by grace are you saved, how? Through faith. And that not of yourselves. Greek professors love this kind of stuff.
It's not in reference to the grace or the faith. See, the King James is ambiguous, but the Greek makes it clear.
And then he tells you exactly what the King James already said.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
What are they talking about? Well, let me ask you a question. Can you muster up the grace to forgive you? Can you muster up the faith to save you? They're both the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. When you open up the Bible, and we won't turn there, 1 Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Probably not about your first birth, but about the second one. The one that the Spirit of God done, like the Spirit of God did in the womb of Mary to bring forth Jesus Christ. In order to make you a son of God, it has to be a spiritual work of the Spirit of God on your soul, on your spirit. He does a work in you. Being born again, how does he do, what is the vehicle by which he does that work? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What I'm talking to you this morning, back in Romans chapter 1, please, what I'm talking to you this morning is, about this morning, is the true gospel of Jesus Christ that comes right from the word of God. No question about it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You open it up, you see in black and white what it says. And you understand what it says. Coincidentally, The book of Romans was written somewhere probably around chapters 21 to 22 of the book of Acts, before chapter 25. In chapter 25 of the book of Acts, Paul comes to Rome. But in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, he said, I desire to come to you, but haven't had a chance. I've elected you to. I've not been able to make it yet. So you know it's written before Acts 25. Sometime around Acts 21, 22 is the guess. Now, here's the weird thing. Paul's never been in Rome yet the Roman church is established. And all the way through the book of Romans, Paul never says boo about Peter. Now, what kind of jerk would he be if he is writing to a church at Rome that Peter established and ignore the pastor? I'm telling you right now, that doesn't happen. I guarantee you one thing. I don't get up on Sunday and read a letter to you from some other preacher preaching at you, instructing you, reprimanding you, correcting you, who ignores my presence. You know why? It's not an arrogance thing. It's not a power struggle thing. I'll tell you exactly why. The reason is because the Lord has put me here by His grace. This is where I'm supposed to be. So some other guy can't walk in here and ignore me and think he's coming back. Paul wouldn't write a book to a church that another man found in and ignored him. Peter was never even in Rome. No matter what the Catholic Church has taught you. See, you need a Bible to get truth, folks. And the Bible will give you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ without bias. It will lay things out for you so plain and clear, there will be no question. The power of God is seen in the Son of God. The power of God is seen in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of God is seen in the greatness of His creation. Look at verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You get it? That's clear. The power of God is seen. How? By the things that are made. What do I always tell you? Everybody in their argument, whether they be atheist, Christian, Catholic, whatever, evolutionist, no matter what it is, they always begin with a conclusion. What they want to believe. And they work their way backwards from there to try to prove what they want to believe, correct? In other words, you did not see a Big Bang. So you work your way backwards to a Big Bang from the conclusion you want to come up with, which is there is no God. We're all walking, talking monkey men. Right? And you work your way backwards to a Big Bang to try to prove the conclusion you already want. You know what God said right there in verse number 20? Work your way backwards from the obvious conclusion. Okay, I'm definitely here. That's not all for debate. There's trees, there's grass. I can actually hear some crickets and some birds. Got up real early this morning, man. You can hear them birds just singing away, brother. There's your obvious conclusion. Now work your way backwards and see if creation holds up. It does. God has manifested Himself clearly in the creation of the world. They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The power of God is seen in creation.
Amen.
I did an entire class in Bible Institute when I was going through the Institute on the imprint of the Godhead of the universe. Mind-boggling. You see God's fingerprints all over the universe, and you see it on you, and you just don't want to admit it. What's the difference between you and a dog? Why can you communicate and vent and, you know, talk and all kinds of things a dog can't do? Reason. Why?
So.
It's exactly right. I got a couple of real smart dogs, man. They're great. Praise Jesus, they'll rip your cap off if you come by my house. I like you, man. A shepherd scares me, boy. I'm telling you, he's a good boy, but he's a protected dog. He's smart. But can I tell you something? He ain't him. He can't reason. You know why? He wasn't created in the image of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know what you got? A body, a soul, and a spirit. You're created in the image of God. You're created in fellowship with God. God created you in such a way where you can come to the right conclusions and you can get to know Him.
Amen.
God created man and woman, male and female, created He them. He didn't create any in-betweens. You get that?
Amen.
Amen. I don't care what you think you are. Facts are facts.
Amen.
Man, that man has a messed up society, but I'll get to that stuff in a second. They know what they hate him for? They hate him for his power. Man wants to do what God's already done. Man wants to create life in his own image. It goes like this. God created man, and man tried to return the favor. Does that make sense? God created man in his own image, and man is now trying to create God in his image. And it doesn't work. Listen, friend. They hate God because of his power to do things you and I can't do. That's why they're messing around in the lab with test tubes. That's why they're trying to create life. That's why they want to get to Mars. Because if we can find life on another planet, we can show our power before God. And therefore, really, I guess there is no God. Because look at how powerful we really are.
Yeah.
You realize we're on an advance in Genesis chapter 6?
Amen. Amen.
At the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, where God said, we better go down there and mess that thing up because now, man, he's going to be able to accomplish anything he puts his imagination to. God went down and messed him up. Jesus Christ is fixing to come back because we're getting close to the same place where they were in Genesis chapter 11. He's going to come back and mess the thing up because he ain't going to let you and I get there.
Amen.
That's not going to happen. His power is seen. They hate him for his power. They hate him for his punishment. Look at verses 18 through 32. Now, this is where I'm going to lose some of you, even you Bible believers. Because some harsh things are said in here. Verse number 18, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now we already seen verse 20, but look at verse 19, because that which may be known of God is where? In them. Then he goes in there, goes, yes, for God has showed it in them. Then he goes into the creation and shows you that, says they're without excuse. Then in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. And to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They worship themselves. That's evolution, you guys. He's selling it out. That's a little, you know why that scares me? Because in America today, this is what we teach our kids in school. This is the American culture. The American culture that's no longer of God. The American culture who wants to live the way it wants to live and wants nobody saying, thou shalt not. Who are you to tell me what to do? I'm nobody. I'm just telling you what God said. What are you getting so upset about? Go do what you want. It's a free country. What's the problem? The root of the problem is sin. Why is the punishment of God coming? Because they refuse to knock off their foolishness. Verse 18 lays it out. He says, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now watch it. Not men who don't have the truth. Men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Well, what about the tribes in the Amazon somewhere who never heard the truth? They have the truth. How do they have the truth, preacher? It's manifest in them. God, by his power, shows in their soul who he is. He shows every day as the sun rises and the sun sets. He makes it all apparent. Not only does he show it around them, he deals with their hearts. You understand that? God deals with every man, woman, and child on the planet. Because he loves them. And he tries to deal with them. But the problem there is they want to hold on to their unrighteousness. Well, I know, but I like how I live. I know, but I like my sin. Here's how it works, folks, because everybody asks this question. How could a holy God send, you know, poor Amazonian heathens, you know, headhunters to hell forever? They never had a chance to hear the gospel. Is God that mean? Right? You heard the argument. Now, you had even doubted God from time to time. Like, yeah, well, yeah, how does that work? Let me show you something. If somebody begins in their spirit to go, you know, we bow and we pray to this idol that we made, and the storm came through and knocked it over. The fire came through and burned up our idol. That can't be God. Who is he? What is he? Where is he? This all couldn't just happen on its own. Everybody, when they first hold that baby, every parent, saved or lost, what's my life all about? What am I going to do with this child? And how am I going to be a good parent? How am I going to raise it right? Everybody has moments where God will deal with that heart. If somebody will respond to that with an openness, with a searching, God will give them more light. Why do you think some missionaries get called the oddest, strangest places? Oh, I just feel that's where God wants me to go. Nowadays, you go to a third world country like Haiti, and they might be living in huts and you know, rock buildings and all this kind of thing, but they're running around with smartphones. You guys realize we have people listening on sermon audio from third world countries? Why? Because when somebody's seeking the truth, God will find a way to get it to them. You don't have to worry about that. God will be just and He'll be fair. He reveals it to everybody. Now, they don't want to stop their sin, and that's why the wrath of God comes. He reveals Himself in a way they can't escape. In verse 19, He's manifest in that. They can't get away from it. He doesn't let them go. You know what the problem is? The problem is that punishment of God goes from a conviction and a pressure and a conviction and dealing with that heart and I'm miserable and I'm depressed. I don't know what the problem is. I'm wrecking my life. It goes from that to when they don't respond to God, it becomes a fact of turning away from God. Look at verse 21. The more they resist the conviction, when they knew God, He was convicting them, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. You realize born-again Christians can do the same thing while they're sitting in church? Stop glorifying God and stop being thankful for what God's done in your life. And you're heading down a road that's a destructive road and you won't come back from it. They glorified Him not as the church is not about your glory. Church is not about your recognition. Church is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you and I. Well, I just don't like the decisions. That's okay because it's not about the decisions. It's about Him. That's what we're here for. Right. They glorified Him not as God. On top of that, neither were they thankful. America is an unthankful, ungrateful nation. We're staying spoiled, rotten.
Yeah.
And we're unthankful. Blows my mind, man. It actually boggles my mind how somebody can be good to you your whole life, and the first time they do something wrong, it's like, you know what it is? It's an unthankful spirit. We need to be thankful for what God's done for us. We need to glorify God in an active fashion where we're constantly striving to bring glory to Almighty God, to exalt Him, to lift Him up, and to put ourselves down.
Yeah.
I know you don't like that, but that brings God glory.
Amen.
They were thankful. So what happens? God's dealing with them and dealing with them, and they don't respond to that. They hold on to their unrighteousness. They continue in their sin. Before you know it, they're unthankful. They're not glorifying God at all. So then one of the worst punishments God can ever give you in this life begins to take place. What happens? God begins to abandon you. One of the worst things that could ever happen to somebody is that God abandoned you. How do you see that, preacher? Well, their foolish heart, verse number 21, is darkened. They didn't respond to the light, so God will shut the lights off. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. That's your professor. I don't care how many degrees he got, he gets up in class, he's a professor trying to talk, he's a fool. Trying to talk you out of God, he's a fool. I don't care how high his intellect is. You can tell him I said so, bring him to church, I'll tell him his face. He's a fool if he refuses to admit they're the God.
Yeah.
He's a fool. They changed the glory of God into of the uncorruptible God. That's that holiness in the image made like a corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now watch verse 24. Here's your key word there. Wherefore God also, here it is, gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Their own bodies between themselves. You know what God will do? God will give them up. One of the worst things that could ever happen to you in your life is for God to stop convicting you. For God to stop making you miserable. For God to stop dealing with your heart, dealing with your heart. I know we resent it sometimes, don't we? For God to say, fine, you want to go your own way? Go, you can have it. Fine, you don't want to hear from me? Don't want to do your thing. God gives them up. And when God gives somebody up, it gets real bad. Because in verse number 24, he gives them up to commit uncleanness in their own bodies. There's a body being given over. Can I explain something to you? AIDS was originally called GRID. Gay-related immune deficiency. You understand that? God said, I will give them up to defile their own bodies. So guess what? They get the recompense of their error, which is meet. It's appropriate. That's down there in verse number 27. Receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, in their own body. God convicted them of it at first. God dealt with them at first. He deals with them in their spirit. He deals with them in their heart, in their emotions. Look at verse 24. Their own lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. You see, God not only dealing with them in their body, but dealing with them in their heart. One of the saddest things I've ever seen is homosexual people. I'm not being hateful, and I'm not homophobic. I do get homo nausea, but I'm not homophobic.
Amen.
I don't hate queers. I want to see them get saved. Amen. Yeah, I just said queers. It's okay. Get over it. I want to see them get saved. You know what irritates the fire? I mean, they can cuss us out, but we can't say queer.
Gay.
Gay means happy. Don't ever call me gay. I'd rather be miserable than have you ever call me, oh, you're pretty gay today. Nope. I'm miserable. Amen. It's terrible to take good words and affiliate with foolishness. God, you know what they are? They're queers. God calls them sodomites. But you're homophobic. No, I'm homo nauseated every time I know. Every time I see one. But I'm homophobic. I'm not afraid of a fag. Amen. I'm not. I want to see them get saved. You know what? Just tears me up. See how miserable they are.
Amen.
You don't know what you're talking. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because you've never tried to raise one for Jesus Christ. You never tried to help one.
Right.
I had one guy get up on my face. Well, what do you have at your church for that? For the what is it? The
LGBT
crowd. What do you have at your church for the LGBT crowd? That's not the gospel.
Hey,
we have some problems. You people, we don't get jobs. Tonight, man, so we're gonna get sticking electric in or something. Okay. I'm like calm and not yelling and just chill, man. It's like that. Something on my face, yelling, back out of my face. Seriously, back out of my face. Amen. I mean, we got a pill for you. It's the gospel. Amen. Take a chill, man. You know what's funny to me is that they're so angry. You don't think they're angry? You don't know. You just don't. They don't just want their rights. They want to take over. You understand that? It's not like live and let live and we should have equal rights. It's we should have all the rights and you should shut your stinking mouth if you don't agree with what we do. And if you want to raise your mouth up and get in the pulpit and preach and tell people what we do is sin and wrong, we are going to do whatever we got to do, legislation, violence, or anything else we have to do to shut your mouth. Why? Because their hearts defile them. I'll show you how it plays out in the passage. Not only that, God gives up on that spirit. He gives them over to a reprobate mind. So now they can't even see the truth if they have to. They're reprobate, reprobate. They're on probation. God dealt with them time and time again, and they won't accept it. Now, it doesn't mean they can't get saved no matter what some fundamental Bible believers want to pop off at the mouth saying. It's stupid. It's like a reverse version of Calvinism or something stupid. They can get saved. That's why 1 Corinthians says, and such were some of you. Duh. Some irritates the fire. No, they can't get saved anymore. What's the matter with you, man? They won't get saved with your spirit, your attitude like that. Go talk to them. Some of them can get saved. Some of them were brainwashed by the professors who were fooled from the time they were little kids and programmed and programmed and seed planted to experience things they would have never thought of without some pervert little person.
Right. Yeah.
Getting up there trying to justify themselves to program. They recruit because they cannot reproduce. Does that make sense? Did you get that? I go right over your head. They recruit because they can't reproduce. When I reproduce, you're not allowed to recruit. Don't reproduce your own if you want to teach them that. Why can't you? Stinking lesbians, they need a man. Whether they want to admit it or not. Amen. Come on, folks. I'm talking common sense and real life. You should talk like that from a pulpit. Okay, the minute you get rid of your TV and don't turn your radio on, I'll apologize. life. So you're so stinking holy, you're not in the real world anymore. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Stuff is obvious, folks, and God gives them over. The problem is, verse 26, they come, God gave up the vile affection. Now there's some sick, nut-job woman saying that pedophiles, it's not really a crime, it's a disease, and they were born that way, they can't help it, they need to be treated. You think that's bad, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
You read the Old Testament, you find out what they were doing, and why God said, go in there and wipe them out.
Right.
The animals were possessed because of the human sinful sexual interaction with them. And that's exactly where America's going.
Right.
I go back to this. I went way back in the 90s. The rock stars are getting out there at their little rock shows and bragging about it and joking about it from the pulpit. From the platform pulpit. Yeah, they're pulpit. Everybody thinks that stuff's funny. It ain't funny. I don't care how perverted your mindset, God. It ain't a joke.
Yeah.
It's vile. Right. It's ungodly. It's wicked. Right. It's not acceptable. You see it on the news media more and more and more. It's like, good night. Do we have to constantly be having this filth pushed in our faces? You want to stop pedophilia? This is all rapture. I'm having fun. You want to stop pedophilia? License every father to kill the pedophile.
Amen.
That'll stop, man. Amen. I'm not telling you to go kill people. I'm just telling you that'd be a great way if the government licensed it. Vile fest, vile, it's filthy, it's ungodly, it's terrible. Why? The women, they change the natural use into that which is against nature. It's against nature. Doesn't make any sense. And likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. See, some of you didn't know the Bible was real, did you? You say, you go to church and you think you're going to sit there like this. Have some guy out there who's just talking about loving each other, loving and being nice, and don't make choice. Loving. How real is this, man? This is real. You see what you're dealing with in society today? You're dealing with reprobates who rejected God, rejected the Bible, rejected Jesus Christ, reject conviction, and now God says, okay, your whole nation can go to hell if that's what you guys want. That's the same God who sent his son to die for the sin of the whole world.
None.
The punishing God. Men work with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Oh, there you go, God. Oh, come on, you believe that? I don't believe in God. Oh, okay, I guess that means he just got deleted from his throne because you, a little peon, I don't believe in God. Oh, no. Why didn't you tell me that a long time ago? You know, I go, oh, my Bible, well, this is bare church, you guys. God's up there in heaven like, oh, they don't believe in me. I guess I'm done. I guess what are we going to do? What's your Jesus going to do? Sorry, angel, stop. You get what you get.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. That's a really good illustration. Because God doesn't stop being God just because they don't believe in him. You know what he does? He gives them over. And you and I can see it. It's happening in the United States of America.
Yep.
And it gets worse. As if that wasn't bad enough. I'm the prophet of doom. Look at verse 29. He gives them over to reprobate mind, verse 28, to do things that are not convenient. Verse number 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Oh, it gets real now, folks. Because you and I, the Bible says, none's righteous. You and I have been unrighteous, haven't we?
Amen.
Fornication. Well, nowadays, that's pretty much everybody. They're marketing it, propagating it, pushing it so much. It's in your children's face at little tiny ages. Little tiny ages they're thinking things and seeing image. Everything's provocative.
Right.
It can't be just come into our jewelry store and buy a ring. It's got to be some guy who's all airbrushed, looks like he's half girl and half male. And so, and then it can't just be like a picture, like a flyer. It's got to be, very light.
Yeah.
You're being marketed incessantly.
Yep.
Filled with fornication. Wickedness. That's all kinds of stuff. And you get more and more of it nowadays. You know, drugs, that stuff opens up gateways to demonic stuff. Ouija boards and all the rest of that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Covetousness. Well, that's America.
Yep.
Maliciousness. Get even. Malicious. Why'd you get it to me first? That's how it starts with it. Why'd you get your sister? Because she hit me first! Okay, well, now you're both in trouble. Full of envy. You always look at somebody else and what they have that you don't have. Full of envy, constantly envious. Murder. Well, most of you ain't killed anybody, I imagine. If you have, don't tell me because I'll turn you in.
Clergy, layman, confidentiality.
Hogwash, you broke the law.
Right.
Don't even try that jump with me. You're a pastor, you shouldn't do that. Huh? The law in this land. Amen. Murder, debate. You guys ever notice all your Fox News and all the rest of them, all they do is debate all the time? And America loves it. Filled with debate. You can't walk up to somebody and say, you know, hey, you're going to discuss the Bible, fellowship over the Word of God, talk about good confidence. It turns into debate. That's the wrong spirit. Debate. Deceit. People look you right straight in the eyes nowadays and lie. There's all kinds of signs you can pick up on it if you learn a little bit, but I can tell you what they are, so I won't pick up on it if you're listening. I'll look you right in the eyes and lie to you. Nothing of it. Deceive you. Preachers get in the pulpits and give you half truth. That's a whole lie. Plus another white lie. Don't just think a dirty, rotten, black, dark, ungodly lie.
Right.
No gray areas. If it's gray, it's just some darkness came into the light. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Malignity. That's that spirit of bad attitude. You know, some people just have bad attitude. They let them malignant, like a cancer, like something boiled inside of them. Bad spirit. Whisperers. Backbiters. Both of those are different versions of gossip. Did you hear? Well, you know, I don't want to say anything, but there are problems. Let's whisper it. Backbiting. Haters of God. I told you they hate God. Despiteful. Proud. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. And boy, there's a lot to talk about on that, but we'll move on. Kind of like your iPad, man. Spells evil, boy. I'm telling you. I got an iPhone or Android or whatever and all that stuff. I mean, I'm not saying you, but I'm telling you. Man will keep inventing stuff to entertain his foolish sinfulness. Keep himself going. Keep himself happy. Some kind of a new thing. A new something to excite him. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Boy, oh boy, that'll preach on it. Without understanding. They don't even get it. Like the most obvious things. Like you have to recruit because you can't reproduce. What's wrong with that? You don't understand. You don't get it. God's giving you over and you can't get it. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. You sign away your own life. You go to buy a house and it's like a package. It's that thick. Why? Because everybody breaks their promise nowadays. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. So you mean like a mom will kill her kids and put them in a freezer for a couple years?
Mm.
Stop for a minute. She'll kill her kids after she tortured them. Put them in the freezer and go sit down and order a pizza. I got two dead kids in the freezer. You think about 2 years of walking them out of that freezer. You guys, that's not healthy. Something is seriously wrong.
Yeah.
Abortion's not enough. No, it keeps going downhill, folks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Accepting homosexual marriage isn't enough. No, it'll keep going. It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden there's videos popping up everywhere of cops doing such horrible things. What about the fact that they're always criminals? It's all out of control. The whole thing's out of control. The whole mess.
Yeah.
Some of it may even be true. Some of the police officers may also be criminals. I don't know. I usually err on the side of those guys. What's the deal? We're wicked without natural affection. Implacable. That's somebody who won't forgive, won't bend, won't compromise. Well, we've got a lot of that nowadays. They're just, here's your sin. They're implacable. Can't touch your heart. Hard. Unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of what? Death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And now all the liberals lose their stinking minds.
Amen.
You just said we're all worthy of death. You're just like the Muslims. You're a bunch of heretics. You're a bunch of fanatics. You're crazy. You people scare me. God never said you can go to hell. You know what God said? They're worthy of it. The Old Testament, they did. And if you got a good government that wants to run a tight nation, they will kill the murderer. And it's not murder. And God will cleanse the nation of the blood of the lamb if the nation will extinguish the blood of the killer. A nation. We're not talking about individually. We're talking about nationally. You understand that? It's not for you and I to go do it in the name of our religion. It's for a nation that says God is the king and the Bible is the law book. And we're going to go by it. Maybe a nation blessed to God. You can forget it. It ain't happening in America.
Right.
By the way, we'll get at it next week. You and I are just as guilty as anybody else. And that's the beauty of this whole thing. Because those of us who are of God are thankful for the provision of God. And we'll close with this. Look at verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. In verse number 7, to all of you in Rome, beloved God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the provision of God is? It's grace. Because you guys, you realize the list I just read through, every one of us is guilty somewhere along the line. Every one of us is guilty. God was gracious enough to send Jesus Christ to wash away your sin and my sin and forgive us of our filth. That's the provision of God. Only God can wash me up. I don't know about you, but I ain't no holy woman. Only God can clean me. His grace is sufficient. And He gave me peace with the God who was going to punish me through Jesus Christ. That's a blessing to my soul, man. Not only that, but He gives me the power for service. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called me an apostle, separated under the gospel. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Why? Well, verse 14 shows you I'm a debtor because he had a debt he owed. I was bought like a slave of a slave block. I was bought by Jesus Christ when He died on the cross and I trusted Him as my Savior. Now I owe Him. And not only Him, but I owe this world. I'm a debtor to everybody else because I know the gospel. I ought to be getting the gospel to them and as many as God will allow me to get it to. You see, church, I want to see the provision of God in helping us get the gospel out.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm not ashamed of it. No matter how much this world tries to make us ashamed of being a Christian, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
Well, you're a minister? Now, that might make me ashamed. But you can call me a preacher all day long, and that don't make me embarrassed a bit.
Amen.
Are you a minister? Are you a man of the cloth? No, but I am a pastor, and I am a preacher, and I am ashamed of that. Why? Because that gospel saved my soul. By the way, it'll save yours too.
Amen.
You see, the provision that God has seen in the fact that you and I can actually serve Him as sinful as we are. That we can actually have peace with God as sinful as we are. And it's all because of your Savior, Jesus Christ, and the glorious gospel that He gave to us that will wash us clean from our sin. And what a blessing that is. I want you to see the last thing. Look at this thing. The power of God to propagate the gospel. Look at verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. Now, first of all, even your service to God is the grace of God.
Amen.
I said it earlier. I said God was gracious enough to allow me to be the pastor here. It's the grace of God. Well, we don't think you deserve it. Amen. I'm right with you. I don't think I deserve it either. Actually, I deserve you to fire me. But God's grace. Put me here. Praise the Lord for it. Grace and apostleship. From obedience to the faith. Watch it. Among all nations. Why? For His name. You realize God has the power to allow us as a church to reach the world for Jesus Christ. I'm not saying the world will get saved. But I'm saying God can give us the power to reach our community.
No.
God can give us the power to reach others around the planet. But it's the power of God that does it. It's His provision that we need. Verse number 8, He said it right there at the last end of the verse that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Why? Because they had faith in God. They put it first. They loved it. They were of Him. And that's really all it takes. Look at Let's bow our heads if you would please stand at your feet.